Monday night, end of the day of the takeaway, Rabbi Shlomo Weisbart.
Okay, well, first of all, straight for Shach Wonders from the share. Appreciate it, thank you very much. Right, let's just see what we spoke about yesterday. Right, well, Things that are mocks or mahas good for you. Things that are not really a keli, so they've got, haven't got a head to case like this, they've got no use in itself to be done on Shabbos. You can't use them on Shabbos itself. So those things are muksa. Well, I forgot to mention yesterday, was part of the heading of the shir actually, was muksa mamakubi is something which is not edible. If you've got food that's not edible, well, you can do it on Shabbos. That's also muksa. Raw potatoes, beetroots, most people can't eat beetroots by itself. I mean, I don't know, someone's stuck in the middle of nowhere and starving and eat it.
Raw beetroots, by the way, are served by a lot of cultures. It's really, 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 it's a raw beetroot, and one can eat raw.
Yeah. What,
have you ever seen it around the plate?
Even that's a chiddush. The answer, what is it? They've taken one little piece of it.
It's more of a decoration.
It's more of a decoration. I'm saying, I don't know if you could eat it.
Maybe
chiddush. That's called being eaten. I don't know. Thomas from the cage, Tucker. Even if they give it a small little slice, yeah? Small little, very thin slice.
Wait.
I'm saying, so not, is it meant to be eaten or is it meant to be fancy? Yeah, I think it's meant to be fancy. Yeah. Some people haven't got to eat it. Same style.
I don't know what it was, they realize it's a horrible
thing. Yeah, I mean, that's true. If you make it very, very thin, the mice, I still think it's called Roy Lucky. What? You could eat anything like that. You can eat grass like that as well.
Potato, I don't think you would eat. A raw potato, you might swear it really, it's worse. But beetroot.
Okay, I'll find out. The marshal in the freezer, when you've got lots of, you have raw meat in the marshal. It's also pastures and muksa. That's a big shy, because the Gemara says that omsa. What? That's a big shy. Nice, the Gemara says that omsa, raw meat is not muksa. Shy comes nowadays, and now we start again now with people.
Fish.
I'm saying, you know, raw meat to be a hard one. I mean, people do it, but also again, came from it's very, very thinly sliced.
Yeah.
It's very, but like, that's.
It's
very. Even raw is not mummish raw. Even raw is not mummish raw. It's not mummish raw, it's been treated a bit. You have to know, minced fish, which is something quite.
Raw meat, raw meat.
Sorry?
The
yeah, I'm saying it used to be the Gemara says it used to be the Gemara says the guy used to eat raw, but nice and loud is very hard to find.
Well,
then we spoke about other things like Moksha, Mamakasa, and Kiss, and we said anything which is a purpose which you can't use on Shabbos really, and it gets used up. So we said the Moksha, paint, thread, anything like that, the Moksha gets used up, it's got a little Moksha, has to go for you. We said the mice though, candles and matchsticks, that's got a din plastic case, actually this is a chiddush actually, because the candle doesn't get used up straight away, it holds for a bit of time, so possibly say that's called a case of chiddush. The difference between a case of chiddush and moksa mamas gufa is that moksa mamas gufa has got no standard heter to move on Shabbos, unless you come up to a table with a shinoi and karachi or something like that, but to pick it up like normal, the term gufa gokomi has got no heter on moksa mamas gufa. It's only about a case of chiddush.
So what's the keli after this and what's the keli?
So I'm telling you, a case like this is a utensil which you can use for other purposes. The hammer, you can use to crack nuts. A screwdriver you can hold to hold a door open. These things are things that can be used for other things. Don't get used up. Anything which gets used up, or anything which is basically useless as it is, the washer of raw food, all these things, the washer of silver, useless as they are now, there's no point. A stone, all these things, you can't do with them now on Shabbos, that is really called a... Just we spoke about bleach yesterday. I didn't see anything today. I just spoke, so it's also to be an interesting point, though. I said to you, I can't understand why bleach is muksa. Because you can clean your toilet with bleach. Someone's got a dirty toilet, washing, you can spray some bleach on. Someone's got a dirty worktop, he can use bleach. And someone said it was an interesting point, I don't know if he's right. They normally use bleach with a sponge or something. So it's normally used with Dvorim Asurim. Possibly, because I said to you yesterday, many of the possibly seem to take on that bleach is muksa. Many apostles take on bleachers moksa. So we saw Shlomi Yehuda yesterday, he says, from Shemuel Yashu, he's got an issue as well, that since you can wash your hands with a dirty stain with bleach, that's not called moksa, it's a finish. But many apostles, moksa, I said to you, they're speaking about Pesach, this year there's Erev Pesach Shechol Shabbos, where a person's got, chametz left over. So there the apostle seems to say you should be miyachad before Shabbos, a container of bleach. Looks like they're taking on that bleach as moksa. I don't understand why exactly, but that. Sorry?
Why is that better than putting down the toilet?
You can, but often for the wash of bread, often it doesn't go down the toilet. It floats to the top. It doesn't go down, it's not practical. Bleach is as nice, it's ruined. Once it's there. I mean, you can do down toilet, there's no wrong down toilet. It's not always so practical.
It's all I'm trying to say, you're not.
No, it's not wrong, because the mice is there to get rid of it. You have to get rid of it. Okay, then we spoke about other things, rolls of paper. We have to speak about this more about Arika. There's a very interesting shadow that's about a foil on a roll, or dustbin bags on a roll. Pashtus, or the Shabbos, says that's moksha. Because it's not designed to be used as it is. A person might use on Shabbos to get stuck, but that's not a hetzer, he says. That's not the normal usage. The normal usage is that you cut it before you use it. Since the normal usage is to cut it before you use it, it's not only for that land on Shabbos, it's moksha. So he's very machmir on that. He tells us that's a big problem to move these things. So not, like we said yesterday, foil on a roll. A person wants to have, he's got a roll of foil, he needs to make cover with something in the fridge. He can't take that roll and use a little bit of it over the saucepan and leave the rest hanging down with him. You can't do that, according to him. Yeah, but that's not a head, because that's based on Kovod Abrius. So since it's the head of Kovod Abrius, the mice, it could be used, that's why the entire name is not moksha. Okay, let's move on now, just before we come on to what we're speaking about tonight. It's very simple moksha, really. People panic when they hear about Herzl's moksha. It's not, but really, moksha's broken down to a few things. One is case after Issa, and that is things you can move the circle from a kovei. You've got another section called moksha matnas kufei. So those are things that are useless. The thing is, you can have something which is completely heta, but it's also moksha on Shabbos. What?
Kovei.
Yes.
Heta, if you don't need it, it's moksha.
Not really. Well, why is it moksha? It's a case of heta. You should move for no reason, maybe, but even that, you can move it for.
Okay,
Issa. But why you can have something, an interesting story of this, Marshall, something called moksha matnas Issa. And that is something which is really basically mutter, a chair. A chair is mutter, no more with a chair on Shabbos, but on Shabbos, for example, the leg broke of the chair. So you've got three legs on a chair. Now, you could really balance the chair on a bench and use the chair still. So the chair's not really finished, you could use it still. Because often, no, we don't really do that. So we're very worried, even though there's nothing wrong with the chair, but we're worried if the leg is intact. And you might have to fix it back on again. I mean, if the leg is snapped off, it's cracked, and you can't repair it on Shabbos, then there's no problem with the chair. The chair is not moksha. You can put the chair, let it lean on a bench, and use that chair. If lemaisa, the chair, the leg has come off, and it's just come off that you can reinsert it and screw it back on again, which you can't do on Shabbos, that chair now becomes moksha. Chazal are worried that you might forget yourself, and you might screw it back on again on Shabbos. So Chazal made a ban on that chair. Who had in? If someone's got a beggar that's wet when Shabbos comes in. Wet. What? A beggar. He will have something in a washing machine. Now, generally speaking, our washing machines, normally when they spin, in such a way that there's not enough to squeeze out. But you can have settings on a washing machine where it keeps it wet. Well, let's say something fell into a puddle before Shabbos, the washing, yeah? And it's very, very wet. That beged is moksha on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with a beged, but we're scared if you use that beged, if you let it touch that beged on Shabbos, you might come to an issa with it. You might squeeze out the beged to let the liquid out, and don't really touch it. It's got the same din as moksha matnas
kufei.
Yeah, even though it's dried out on Shabbos morning, now Shabbos morning is alright, but when Bein HaShmoshes came in, that's when moksha is fixed. When Bein HaShmoshes came in, that beged was very risky. It could be, you might be able to come and do an issa with it. So we don't let you touch that beged on Holy Shabbos. Damp is not a problem. It's only when you might do sita to it. So if it's just damp, when you come out normally from a washing machine, there's not enough water in it, that beggar is not moksha. Yeah. That beggar is not moksha. And if on Shabbos morning it dries out, then you'll have to wear it. What? That's a good shout. I said, we're going to come to that, but you're allowed to put the radiator before Shabbos. That's called Gomer Le'olam. You know it's going to dry on Shabbos, no problem at all.
But it's moksha when Shabbos came in.
Not if you know it's going to happen. I'll give you an example. I don't know how your cholent, because the Gemara speaks about cholent, the marshal. Let's say there were raw beans where Bein HaShmoshes was. And you leave it on, you have it Shabbos morning. You'd have to eat that cholent?
Yeah, of course.
Well, how can you? It wasn't fit when Shabbos came in. So something you must think about is Hashem, but when something you know is definitely going to happen, the chok you know is going to cook, then there's no problem with moxa. Yeah. Yeah, you mustn't touch it, obviously. While it's cooking, you can't the lid off, you can't do anything. You can't even touch the lid off because you might even make a quick cook with it.
Only in the sun.
What?
Only in the sun. Right. In winter, you'll be ready by 9 o'clock.
If it is, I don't know when you know. Yeah, it depends.
9 o'clock?
Take
3 hours to cook, 4 hours
to cook. Depends. Okay, if you do, I'm saying, it depends on the stove, it depends what you've got and everything. The stove can take much longer. Depends what you've got. I know someone told me, it's interesting, Shalom, I don't want to answer this question. There's apparently a while ago, someone impressed me, so a woman gave her children to eat Shalom on Friday night. She took everything off the slow cooker. She served as she was supposed to. Put it back on again, supposed to. The children ate the Shalom, they said, Mummy, the beans are raw. You can't eat the beans. It's not been cooked. Now, so that's what we do with the rest of that Shalom. What?
Cool.
Ah, so you know what children call raw. Children call you can't eat.
Take minutes.
What?
To get 30%, 40% cooked. Bean.
First, I'm not sure. Some of these chocolate beans are very hard to cook. Actually, I must say, I'm not sure if you're right. Those red beans are very hard to cook in the
environment.
No,
you need a few.
Yeah. You need that. So you need 100% cooked if she moves it around.
Yeah, he's right actually. Yeah, it's much worse when you move. He's right actually, what I'm saying. When you move it around, you've done that mice abyssal. You took it off the fire and you put it back on again. You've done that mice abyssal. So you're right with your thing of Mark and Wendy Soy. Once it gets there, you can leave it on. He's right, it's got a problem. You've returned it on the flame.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to know. Once it's Mark and Wendy Soy, put it back and it's a drop on. It's not flavorless. I'm saying for a lot of these things, you can run close. Anyway, that's called Moksa Machmas Issa. Then there's another thing called Moksa Machmas Mitzvah. It's another interesting thing as well, and that is something which is designated for a mitzvah, the Moshe Lulav and Esrog. A Lulav and Esrog, the Jewish Sukkot, is designated for a mitzvah. That is Moksa. On Shabbos of Sukkot, since it's designated for a mitzvah purpose, you used it for a mitzvah purpose to start with already, it now becomes Moksa, and you can't move it on Shabbos. So a person wants to smell his Esrog on Shabbos, during Sukkot, he can't smell it, it's Moksa. Who are doing Sukkot decorations? They're Moksa. Those are Moksa, the Sukkot decorations. But you decide to set, you're quite right, you set it aside for a mitzvah. You set aside your Esther for a
mitzvah. So the first day
Sukkot is
on Shabbos. It's
Moksa. I think you have to use it first to make it. It's a good question. It's asking why the first is on Shabbos. So you haven't used it yet, your Esther. Passive Matzah. They come in Matzah. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure about that. That's a good point. Yeah. That's what Moksa
Machmas.
Yeah, normal health is Moksa depends on Bein HaShemoshet. What happened to Bein HaShemoshet? What was it when Bein HaShemoshet was? That's normally the thing. Then that's Moksa Machmas. You've got one more which is not relevant. It's called Moksa Machmas Mius. So it's very unpleasant. The only example we've got of that is in Chazal is a potty, which is made of earthenware. We haven't got that nowadays. Our potties are made of plastic, therefore this Moksa, I don't know what exists to. But that is the general rules of Moksa. We've got one more section of Moksa called Chisoron Kiss, which we haven't dealt with yet, but that is generally the rules of Moksa. Now, let's come to our case of a stone. So a person's got a stone, and he wants to use it for a doorstopper. Or, in the old-fashioned days, a person wants to go on holiday, and he's in a little nice countryside somewhere, and he wants to go out for a walk. He doesn't want to take his keys. He's got no shower clock with him. So the old-fashioned way many people used to do was, they used to have a brick in the garden, and under the brick they put the key. Ah, so the question is now, a stone is a severe type of moksa. It's called a moksa machmas ukai. A stone, a brick, is a useless piece of item, generally. It's got no use on Shabbos for such a thing. And therefore, how can you make it that you can use it on Shabbos? Someone just talked to me today, actually. Oh, it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. He said he was walking Eretz Yisrael. He found a stone with a ribbon around it. So he asked the question, what's going on? He says, that stone is miyachad for throwing on Shabbos for people who are machal Shabbos. I'm not sure if that helps. I must say, I'm not sure if that helps. It's an interesting thing. The shaila is, how can you make a stone non-moksa? So one way of making a stone non-moksa is called yichud la'olam. A person decides to use this stone for always now as a doorstop, let's say, or to put my key underneath it. Now that needs a yichud la'olam, needs a permanent yichud. Now the thing is, I was wondering about this, when you go on holidays, it's a joke to say that, you're only there for 2 weeks. So that doesn't help at all. Because something which is severely moksa, yichud from one shabbat doesn't help. Yeah, the Mishmaru says, the Mishmaru brings a machlekas, the Mishmaru says as far as I remember. Yeah, but that's I don't know what that's called. It's interesting what you're saying, let me just find out what you're saying about. I just have this here. Yom Yachad, I mean, looks like something which is not normal to Yom Yachad, you need Yichud Laila for. A stone is not normally used for Yichud. And therefore he's right about a small stone, which apparently in the time of Chazal used to crack nuts and things like that was right. That was Yichud Shabbat would help. But a general thing which is very far removed, it's not normally used at all, Beheta, that means a Yichud Laila. So I was always wondering about this, Marshall, what do you got holding this? Does it help at all? I mean, as far as you're concerned, I don't mind being Yachad this bit for Laila, avoid. Just I hope to be back home in 2 weeks' time. So I don't know if it's going to help, I don't know if it helps. But the Maestro has another way of doing it, and that is the Shulchan Aruch I was talking about, where a person makes a shinui to the stone. Either he trims it down a bit, he cuts it a bit, or he sandpapers, does something to it. Maestro, many possibly say, and I think this is where it comes from, if you do something to the stone, watch the sea take form, you wrap it round or something like that, you do something onto it, then that will also help. A ribbon on the stone, I'm not sure that's the same thing, I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure.
You mean a foam colouring up?
What? The foil goes round the brick, so you've now done like a shinu to the brick. I don't know if it's much fun there, everyone knows that brick's a little bit odd, it's not very good having a key underneath there. So I don't know how, what you're going to do, no matter, I don't know what's. Not so simple that. Putting the ribbon round the stone, I don't think that's called a yichud. I don't think that's called I don't think that's the thing. I said, that's precious muksa, you can't throw a stone on Shabbos. That won't help you at all. But the Moshe, someone wants to designate coins, let's say, for children to play with. Moshe, he's got a money game at home, and some of the coins have got lost. So he wants to take some coins and decide to use them for his children's games. If he makes a yichud la'olam, he says, right, I'm designating now, these coins are going to be used permanently for my children's game, no problem. That's no problem at all. If you stick, let's say, some sticky stuff on sticky paper onto the coins, that's called a shilamaisa. That's also that will also be okay. So those are ways of making things meyuchad. You can change something which is muksa, even though it's been designated for normally an asadik use. You are allowed to change it and make it now usable on Shabbos by 2 ways of doing it. Either you make a yichud la'olam. I'm just trying to think why other people are not. When we were in yeshiva, I don't know how this works actually. People used to use the fire extinguisher to hold the doors open. Now a fire extinguisher pashtus is muksa. So what do you do? So if you use it permanently as a door stopper. I mean, you designated the fire extinguisher as a door stopper for permanent use, then l'chayr, that's okay, that's good enough. If you haven't, then you've got a problem using it, l'chayr, and you haven't got a chance to use it. Unless you do a shilly, you wrap it around with something, let's say, and then you will do it.
What's doing wrong with it? You put it in the fire extinguisher, basically press it, water's going to come out. What's this in here?
That's a good question. You know what could be a problem with the fire extinguisher? The fact is, we have spoken about Chesaron Kiss, it's very expensive. Most people wouldn't touch it normally, move it around. Because it's very delicate. If you by mistake activate it,
yeah, you break it. Well, there's no fire, you won't play around with it because it's expensive.
I don't know if
there's
a fire on
Shabbos,
you'd use it.
Oh, so that's the shy I'm saying, but you wouldn't move it around normally. The mice are normally you're mucking on a fire extinguisher. Most people wouldn't move a fire extinguisher for no reason during the week. Because it's very delicate.
Yeah,
the
door stoppers.
Yeah, the door stoppers.
Yeah, the door stoppers.
What?
There's one of the other split in front of the door.
Always using the door stopper in this room.
What, fire extinguisher?
Yeah.
You do use it?
Yeah. I'm sure many times I open the door.
It's interesting thing. I'm not sure how that works, actually. Because you have to know. So some people say the fire extinguisher is called a head-to-digger thing because it's used for a fire. But in Chol, I have to check it out. The Chol is Chesaron Kiss. The person's very, very careful about a fire extinguisher. It's very delicate. If it falls on the floor, for example,
it
knocks.
It's just moving it, it's very good to door. It's not. There's no Chesaron in the actual fire extinguisher. You're not messing around with it. You can't press it down because it's got a piece of.
No, but it can get knocked around. Somewhere, if you use it, I think most people would use a fire extinguisher to hold a door open because it can easily knock over and then the fire extinguisher might go off. You lost all your stuff inside there. So I don't know. Let's check this up with him. All right, everybody, safe.
Well,
what's the problem with the machine today?
Yeah.